So in the last chapter, the last video, I just got done telling you that the consultation is not an interview. However, that doesn't mean that you can't ask questions. As a dog owner, you have every right to ask questions. And what happens is a lot of dog trainers get a little bit weird when you as the owner, as the consumer, start asking questions. And here's the thing, remember, you are not the expert, okay? You're not finding out to see if you know more than the dog trainer. That's not what the purpose of the questions are. But it's to genuinely get to have an idea of what's gonna be taking place. So in this video, I'm gonna be covering those things, what questions to ask so that you can feel a little bit more comfortable about where you are leaving your dog. So one of the questions that you could ask is, what methods do you use? As a dog owner, remember, you're not the expert. You don't know. The reason you're coming to the dog trainer is because you need help with something that you are unable to do yourself. So that's what the dog trainer is, right? But you can ask, you know, what's the procedure going to be like? Is it going to be reward oriented? Is it going to be, are you going to use certain tools? Now, as a dog trainer who uses all the tools myself, I don't have a problem answering those questions. I can tell you and I can articulate exactly why I'm going to use certain tools in a way that is going to make sense to you as the owner. And it's going to make it so that you walk away from that consultation with some information. That's even going to help you if you decide to not do business with me. But some dog trainers do feel almost a little bit defensive when you as the owner start asking. Like you'll start asking questions like that because they're genuine questions you want to know. Unfortunately, there are dog trainers that they need to be grilled. There are dog trainers that do need to be, you know, put on a microscope because there are so many bad trainers out there. You don't know who they are. So there are trainers that will literally abuse your dog. And I'm not exaggerating, that actually has happened and unfortunately continues to happen. And I don't mean like they're gonna be a little bit harsh on your dog. I mean, like strictly the full term of the word abuse, like bad, neglect, big time, just let them piss themselves in the crate. And when it comes time to training, they're gonna do like literally a lot of damage. There's a lot of hanging, a lot of kicking. It is unfortunate and I feel awful just even saying that because I don't want to make it seem like every dog trainer does this, but there are some people that do that, that call themselves trainers. It's an unfortunate reality of our industry, but it does happen. So by you asking, you know, what methods do you use, they should be able to tell you. If they don't use training tools like e-collars and prong collars, that's fine. They should be able to tell you that. And if they tell you all we use is treats, clicker, and a harness, and you're happy with that, and that's where you want to spend your money, more power to you, that's fine. But at least you're getting the information. If like me, they tell you we use, you know, food and reward, but we'll also use other tools to ensure discipline so that the dog performs the behavior when it doesn't want to perform the behavior, that they should be able to answer that question as well. This is not a question where you are grilling the dog trainer. And if they feel defensive to me as a person, as a consumer, as a dog owner, I just don't like that. If I'm asking a question to a professional and right away they get defensive, I start to think, why are you getting defensive about a simple question? That's an indicator to me that I don't want to do business there. Personally, that's how I feel. Because think about this, as a professional, whatever your profession is, if you're watching this and you're not a dog trainer, you're a dog owner, whatever your expertise is, if somebody asks you, hey, what do you do? How do you do this? Especially if they're a consumer, they're potentially paying your bills, should you not feel comfortable giving them those answers? The answer is you're probably gonna be fine with it. But the moment you feel defensive, now there is a little bit of a disconnect there. Another question you can ask is, how long have you been training dogs? Now, I want to put a little bit of a side note here. The time that the person has been training dogs is important, but it's not the most important. So just to give you a quick example, I could have a dog trainer that is consistently working dogs like day in and day out, 5 to 6 to maybe even 7 days a week. And they do that every single week, every single month, and they've been doing it for 2 years or a year. right? A year or so. And then you have another person that does it, but they do it sort of on a part-time basis. They do like a dog here and there. They'll do another dog every once in a while. And then they'll do a dog, you know, maybe every couple of months or every few weeks. And they kind of do this and they've done it for 5 years or 10 years. Now, logically, you might go, well, I want the guy that's been doing it for 10 years. But if the guy that's been doing it for 10 years on sort of a hobby, part-time basis, might not have the education that comes from training hundreds or thousands of dogs, that possibly the guy that's been doing it every single day, every single week, every single month for the past year or two has, right? So these are things to consider. This is just an example. I know people who claim, you know, they've been training dogs for 20 some years and they'll include their time as a dog owner, right? They'll include their time as a dog enthusiast. They'll include their time as, you know, them working with their dogs in a certain hobby. Like that alone will give them like 5 years or so, right? And then they'll include their time that they were on a very part-time basis, you know, doing it a certain way. They'll include that. That's another, you know, number of years. And then they'll include their time where, you know, maybe they've been doing it a certain way, but maybe it was not the most productive way of doing it, and they'll include that time. So if you've been doing something in a way, and I don't want to say wrong, because who am I to say wrong or right? Although there definitely are wrong ways to do things, right? Just we talked about it earlier. We don't want to be hanging your dog, kicking your dog, helicoptering your dog. That's definitely the wrong way. But let's say, hypothetically, a person has been doing that for 5-10 years. Now, suddenly you go, well, that person's been doing it for 15 years. We don't know. We really, truly don't know how they've been doing it. They might have been doing it amazing, or they might have been doing it part-time basis, not the best way. They might have included time that they were not actually training dogs professionally, but they included in their resume anyway, right? Versus you have a person that's been doing it for 5 years, and maybe the person who's been doing it for 5 years, less time than this other person, has done it properly, has done it on a full-time basis versus a part-time basis. So you have to understand the time frame is not the whole thing, but that is something that you in fact can ask. Now, if the answer to the question of, you know, how long have you been training dogs is sort of a short period of time, or they're kind of embarrassed to tell you how long they've been doing it, because maybe they've only been doing it for less than a year, right? Or like a couple of years, and they just feel a little bit inadequate being forthcoming with that. Well, then the next question to ask is, okay, not a big deal. That's fine. You've only been doing it for a year or so. I mean, I think of it this way. If I hire an electrician and the electrician is going to, you know, install a new AC in my house, it doesn't matter that he just graduated or that he just finished his apprenticeship. It doesn't matter that he just got out of trade school. As long as he can do the job, that's what matters to me. So if I'm working with a dog trainer as a dog owner, I'm okay, like, if the guy has only been doing it for like a couple of years, as long as he's doing it the right way, as long as his heart's in the right place, as long as he has my best interest and my dog's best interest as a priority, I'm okay with that. But you can ask, if the person is kind of new at it, you can ask, where did you get your apprenticeship? What programs did you follow? What schools did you go to? And whatever answers they give you, if they tell you, well, I did an apprenticeship with, you know, William Garrido, I did an apprenticeship with Canis Fortis Dog Training, right? I did a shadow program with Canis Fortis Dog Training. Well, look up William Garrido, look up Canis Fortis Dog Training, look up what they're doing, and look up to see, okay, what do their dogs look like? Their dogs look like just crap, then the apprenticeship might not have been the best. If the place that they got their apprenticeship or their certificate from looks decent, and that's a good sign. That's a place that you go, okay, I like the product, and they got their education from this place. It makes sense. Now, the reason you're asking for certifications, shadow, or pro, any programs like that, is because, like I said earlier, the dog training industry is not regulated. And you could be a dog trainer tomorrow if you wanted to. You watching the video, if you never train a dog, you could just be a dog trainer tomorrow. Nobody will regulate you as of this moment here in the US. So schools and apprenticeships and certificates are not really necessary. This can be a bad thing and it also could be a good thing. We can make a whole video about this at a later time. But these are questions that you can ask, okay? And again, the answers should be transparent, should be forthcoming. If I've only been doing it for, you know, less than a year, then I can tell you I've only been doing it for like less than a year, but these are the programs that I follow. These are the schools that I went to. This is the place that I learned from. Additionally, if you're smart as a dog trainer, you have a portfolio, right? You have some videos of dogs that you have worked with. At least if you've only been doing it for a year or two or less than that, then at least I have some video that I can send to you and I can go, look, this is some of my work, right? So if the more of that they have, the more it's going to make you feel good about this person. Now, let's say you have a very specific issue, not just an obedience problem, but you have something much more specific, like let's say aggression or the dog chases cars or anything specific other than just dog training, right? And other than just obedience. One question you can ask is, have you worked with cases similar to mine? So if my dog chases cars, right? And if that's like the biggest problem, that's the one thing that he's really bad about, right? I could ask, have you dealt with dogs? Have you worked with dogs that have done this before? Right? If my dog has a problem with being territorial, right? If my dog is being possessive of certain things in the house, and that's a very specific problem, right? Or my dog doesn't like my kids. It's a very specific problem. It's not just obedience. I could ask the dog trainer, hey, have you ever worked with a dog like this that, you know, he has problems with vehicles, he has problems with, you know, people, he has problems with children. Have you ever dealt with a dog like this? The answer should hopefully be something along the lines of, yes, I've worked with dogs that have very similar, if not identical, issues to what you're having right now. That also, as a pet owner, gives you a peace of mind, right? It lets you know this guy has handled a problem similar to mine. Now, you're obviously taking their word for it. So far, these questions do seem like a little bit of an interview, but remember, you are a consumer. You are leaving your dog with somebody. You are trusting somebody with one of your most precious members of your family. So these questions are warranted. It's supposed to be a bit of a give and take. You're not drilling the dog trainer to the point where, you know, it's making it look like you are the one that has the absolute expertise, because you don't have the expertise, they do. But you should still feel comfortable asking some questions.